Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today from the first verse of the epistle lesson, St. Paul's words to the Ephesians, and I would say also to us, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. This is our text. I'd invite you to turn to page 3 of the service folder, and we have an outline there for you to follow along during the sermon. From time to time, folks have asked me what it is that a pastor does with his time when he's not in the pulpit. So I thought it might be a good idea to have somebody follow me around for a little while with a video camera and kind of document that. So I'm going to show you a clip of a totally unrehearsed and spontaneous moment in the life of this pastor. This is my morning routine. So first I go out for a little run. Then a little eye-hand coordination with the speed bag. And then finally some upper body work, strength conditioning. Okay, that wasn't really me last week. That was from about 10 years ago when I was younger before my hair started turning color. I guess you're not buying that either. Good for you. I'm sure you recognize that as a clip from the movie Rocky. That came out in 1976. It was the first in a series of 7 Rocky movies, and rumor has it that there's an 8th one in the works. Don't ask me why. Rocky was all about getting strong, which is also what St. Paul encourages us to do in our text today. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Now, Paul is talking in a spiritual sense, of course, but there's certainly some comparisons to being strong physically. Physically, if you want to be strong, well, you have to get strong. It doesn't happen all at once overnight. You have to work at it. You have to exercise and push yourself. If you combine that with the proper diet and the proper amounts of rest, well, you've got the formula for getting strong. That's what Rocky did. He triumphed because he had a big heart and loads of determination. Is that what Paul is talking about in today's lesson when he encourages us to be strong, eat the right kind of spiritual food, get the right kind of spiritual workout? Is that the lesson here? Well, partly, I suppose, but mostly our text helps us to see that our spiritual strength doesn't rely on us. It doesn't come from what we do. Remember, Paul doesn't end with just that two-word sentence, be strong. How does it finish? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Well, that's necessary because human effort is inadequate. That's the first blank in your sermon outline. Now, I know we believe that. We know that human effort is inadequate. I'm just not so sure we always remember it. For instance, what often is our first reaction when some problem crops up in our lives? Isn't it something like, oh no, what am I going to do now? You see the problem with that? It's the subject. What am I going to do now? How much better would it be if our thoughts or our words were more along the lines of, I wonder how God is going to be at work in this situation. See, none of us is a spiritual Rocky who has only to try a little harder to bring out the champion within. Jesus talks about what is inside of us. in our gospel lesson this morning. Remember his words? From within, out of the heart of man. I'm going to put 10 things that he says on the screen. And as you look at that, I'm going to guess you're going to be able to pick out two or three or maybe more that hit pretty close to home. These are all sins that Jesus talks about. Out of the heart of man comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting. That's half the list. Wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and I didn't even put the last one up there, just didn't have room on the screen, foolishness. That's quite a list. Did you find yourself in there somewhere, or maybe more than one place? Truly, human effort is inadequate. Thanks be to God, his power is invincible. We thank him also for the fact that he uses that power not against us, but for us. He uses that power to do the most difficult thing ever. That is to forgive those who have offended him, who have sinned against him. Speaking of power, did you know, girls and boys, that I can lift that lawnmower with one hand? That's my lawnmower. It's, I don't know. I tried to find out how much it weighed, but they didn't give me exactly. But somewhere around 500 pounds, that lawnmower. I can lift it with one hand. You believe that? Now, I think it might be a little doubtful after that mess with the Rocky video at the beginning. So to prove that I can do it, I'm going to show you a video of me lifting that with one hand. You're not going to hear the audio very much, so don't worry about that.
Got to warm up here, make sure that I don't strain any muscles. Well, that should do it. Here we go. One hand. That's all there's to it.
500 pounds with one hand. Now, I didn't say I did it all by myself. I didn't say I could do it without any help. Actually, that's a foot pedal, of course, and it's even easier if you use your foot, but it's much more impressive if you say you can lift it with one hand. How often does it happen that we don't make use of God's help to do the heavy lifting in our lives? I could have tried to lift that all by myself. I could have used both hands and lifted correctly with my legs and all of that. I never would have gotten it done. I only would have succeeded in hurting myself. But when I used the power of that hydraulic lift, I could do it with one hand. When we use God's invincible power in our lives, he can get us through the toughest circumstances, spiritually and in other ways as well. Although we need to know something, and that is that while God's power is invincible, it's not magical. It's not as if we just have to say the magic words and we're all set. No, God involves us in all of this and seeks some effort on our part. And that's why we say that while human effort is inadequate and God's power is invincible, diet and exercise, spiritually speaking, are indispensable. Right? I mean, what happens when somebody puts the wrong kind of food into their bodies? Maybe it's junk food. Oh, that's no good. Tastes good, but it's not good for you. Maybe it's something even poisonous. That's even worse. That can kill you. I've been drinking bottled water the last couple of days. Anybody else live in that part of the town or the township where you get the boiled water order? Here, I move out in the country. I think we're safe. All the problems of the big city of Frankenmuth leave behind, and the water problems follow. You know, when we first got that call, what was that, on Friday? My reaction, if you don't know, they're having some trouble flushing the lines with the new line coming into town. And so he got a phone call on Friday. He was on the Frankenmuth City Facebook page. Citizens in this part of the city or township, don't drink the water. We think it's safe, but it's probably cloudy, and we just don't want to take any chances. When I first heard that, our water isn't cloudy, I'm going to drink it. It wasn't too long, and my wife starts boiling water. And I said, come on. And she said, no, why would you take a chance? Just because you can't see anything in there doesn't mean that you should ignore the warning that came about that water. I wonder how often we ignore the warnings about spiritual, not just junk food, but poison that we take into our systems. Because we think just a little bit isn't going to hurt, or, oh, I know what the warning is but in God's word, but that, I don't think it's really going to harm me at all. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Sometimes it's the kind of people that we associate with, the kind of books we read, or the movies or TV shows that we watch, or the songs that we listen to, or the websites that we visit. Some of them spiritual junk food, many of them spiritual poison. When what we need is the pure spiritual food of God's word and our Savior's body and blood and Holy Communion and the encouragement of Christian people and those kinds of things. We also need good spiritual exercise. And that in large part is what our year of discipleship has been about. Just as a reminder, before the summer break, we focused on these four things, on worship and Bible study and also private meditation, personal study there, prayer and fellowship. And now, starting this month, we're going to talk about sharing our faith and next month's service and in November, generosity. All of those things are spiritual exercises that we do to get strong. Although St. Paul seems to indicate that actually just getting strong or being strong might not be quite enough, because he also tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And he says it's important that we do that, because unlike sometimes what we think, which is, oh, you know, the devil is this cute little caricature that maybe we see in the cartoons, or a figment of somebody's imagination, or whatever, we don't have to worry about him or those sins. And here's what Paul says about this devil, this Satan. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers in this present darkness. And so we need to be strong in the Lord to stand against the devil. He works to convince us to sin. I don't know how hard he has to work in your life. Sometimes he doesn't have to work at it very much at all. In mine, I'm pretty much a willing participant sometimes. Moses, in the Old Testament lesson, says something that really caught my attention. I notice it's much more this time, because the translation that we're now using, the ESV, says it differently than some of the other translations. Here's how it reads in the ESV. Moses, remember, is talking to the people of Israel. He can't go into the promised land with them. He's been with them in Egypt. They're miraculously rescued from Egypt. They've wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and now they're getting ready to go over there, and Moses is giving them a pep talk before they go. And he says, after telling them about the commands of God that they are to obey, take care, and here's what struck me, and keep your soul diligently. Other translations said, watch out for yourself, watch yourselves closely. But this translation, I like it, says, keep your soul diligently. It is our souls that Satan is after. Lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And how often does that also happen to us when we forget what Christ has done for us? his suffering and death and resurrection, his blood shed on the cross for us. And we forget about that. And we forget that God really is the one who knows best and who always wants what's best for us. And we decide that we're just going to go our own way and we are going to determine right from wrong. That's when Satan convinces us to sin. And then as soon as he does that, he turns right around and seeks to convict us of sin. Ironic, isn't it? We do his bidding and then he blames us for it. He throws it in our faces. Challenges our faith in God, challenges God's ability to forgive us after we've sinned against him one more time. Makes us wonder if we have any faith at all. Satan and God kind of converge in what they want for just a brief second. In that they both want us to recognize our sin. But they want it for entirely different reasons. And so while they're in sync maybe for the briefest of moments, the paths diverge dramatically. Because what Satan wants us to do when we recognize our sin is either to keep on going that way. Oh, this isn't so bad. And look, I've survived, so I guess it's okay. Or to feel that burden of guilt that can rob us of our faith. God wants just the opposite. What God wants is what we've already done today. As we honestly, truthfully, intentionally confessed our sin to him and then received those precious words of absolution, the reminder that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin and that in God's eyes we are no longer guilty because our sin has been forgiven. And when we remember that, that gets us back on the road to being strong once again, strong in the Lord. And in the power of the strength of his might, let's use that strength to full advantage this coming week. Let's be strong in the Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.